How do we get from a Guinness World Record holder, who is also Boca Juniors' all-time top scorer, to a Swedish man who's managed England?
Hello and welcome to this week's Wikipedia Wanderers, where we're going to attempt to get from Martin Palermo to Sven-Göran Eriksson. And if you didn't guess it was Sven-Göran Eriksson, then I don't know what's wrong with you, because I think there's only been one Swedish man who's managed England. My name is Dave, and this is my co-host Josh. Say hello.
Hello, everyone.
That was very polite. I thought you were going to just go straight into a sentence, but hello is
no,
hello.
No, I thought I'd leave there. And, you know, concise, much like the intro to Sven-Göran Eriksson, I kept my hello concise.
You did. I'll ask you another question then. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Yeah, pretty good. It's nice and warm. We're talking about football, and, you know, it's different football. When Dave chose Sven-Göran Eriksson first, I was like, who do I pick? This man's been around. Don't we know it? And so I felt I had to go a bit niche, so I went for Martin Palermo, who I know of, but don't know much of. But we're delving into depths of football, which is quite nice.
Yeah, I think you text back to say Martin Palermo. Like, literally, our text messages when we pick something is just two names. Like, there's no... If you saw me going through our WhatsApp, there'd be a conversation, two names, conversation, two names, conversation, two names. And I text you Sven-Göran Eriksson, you text back Martin Palermo, I text back to you, legend.
I wanted to clarify, was that me or Martin?
Oh, no, Martin, not you. I mean, but yeah, you've gone up a rung on the legend ladder because you picked Martin Palermo. I feel like I've gone down because I picked Chesney, and I need to recoup from that in your eyes.
I'm not sure I'm ever going to forgive you. Even just saying his name, Martin, makes it a bit odd when you say a singular name. Like I was chatting to your friend of mine, Pascal Chimbonda.
Yeah.
I say chatting to him, I sent him an unsolicited message on Instagram and he didn't reply.
But it's not unsolicited. It's not unsolicited because he liked the post.
He did like the post. But I said, hello, Pascal.
Oh.
And I feel like I should have said, hello, Pascal Chimbonda, because that's what it rolls off the tongue like that. Footballers' names are typically a full name, aren't they?
It's probably because we don't call footballers by their first names anyway. It's Beckham, isn't it? It's not. You don't call him David Beckham. You just call him Beckham. You don't call him David. And you don't call him David Beckham. You just call him Beckham.
No, and normally, if it's the first name involved, there's something else. Stevie G, Super Frank.
Yeah, that is... I've never thought about that. It is like that, isn't it? Yeah. But Josh, tell us a little bit about Martin. No, before Martin Palermo, actions. That's how we're starting all the meetings.
We had a big action last week, and
you
it's
had a
unresolved.
Big action.
I had a big action, yeah. And it's currently still open. It's in progress. So my action was, because Mario Jardel's appearances in the top right of his Wikipedia page look quite low for his Brazilian club sides. So I thought, oh, that's weird. Surely he played more. He was spoken about as being quite important, a bit of a legend for Grêmio, I think it was. And it turned out a lot of his appearances, because of a Brazilian league structure in a different way, went into other. So I tried to find out, you know, is this right? I'm struggling. These appearances were from 92 to 95, so it's a bit difficult to get corroboration on that fact. And I wasn't sure, I'm still to find out if the Brazilian league structure has changed in the last kind of 20, 30 years to again corroborate that fact. And even it's just difficult. It's difficult. It's going to be open for a little while, but I will try and answer that in future episodes. But
I mean,
to be confirmed of a closing date for that.
I don't know about the listeners, but all I'm hearing is excuses, mate. Like, that's all I'm hearing. I want results. That's what I want. I want to see results. But no, fine. It stays open. But we'll move from complications in Brazil to a Guinness World Record holding Argentinian.
Dave, do you know what his Guinness World Record is?
Nope.
Okay. It's not a good one. He is the Guinness Book of Records.
Right.
He is the Guinness Book of World Records holder for missing three penalties for Argentina in a single international match. When you read it, it gets even better. First penalty, hit the crossbar. Second penalty, he didn't learn from his mistakes, went over. You'd have thought, just keep it low, went over. And third penalty, where he probably did learn that lesson, was saved. He has hit the trifecta, the three different ways to miss a penalty, he's done that. I suppose there's a fourth way, it doesn't reach, but not many people do that.
I want to know if there's a penalty that's never reached the goal now.
I think there's one I've seen where it's been like torrential rain and it's rolled it on the ground and the slosh of the water has really held it up.
But wouldn't, if the keeper picks it up, is that not a save? Keeper just dives but then gets up and picks up.
I think the arrogance of a keeper at that point should be, come on, mate.
Yeah,
didn't
yeah.
get there. True. That's probably only a penalty shootout, because otherwise someone else can come and tap it in. I'd be really misguided then.
Very true, yeah. Very, very true. So he missed... He's in the Guinness Book of World Records for missing three penalties in a game. That's just scrub that one out. Just be like, I don't want it. Why is that a record?
Not like, everything's got to be a record, you know.
Yeah.
Don't register this. And at the time, you'd have thought that might be the end of his international career. 1999, but to fair, it almost was, because it took 11 years later for him to be recalled by Argentina.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it might have happened earlier, and I'll touch on that a bit later, but 11 years until Diego Maradona called him up for Argentina.
Wow.
Brought him back into the fold. And he got into the kind of World Cup squad in South Africa, scored against Greece. He put in a rebounded effort from Messi. So they've played together. But yeah, it wasn't his international career. I imagine he probably thinks about those three penalty misses on a daily, maybe hourly basis.
Well, I mean, if you're in his household or you're one of his mates, you've definitely got a photo on your phone saved of that page of the Guinness World Book of Records. And if he ever does anything in a group chat, you post it. If he does anything to you that annoys you, you post it. He beats you at golf, you post it. Like, well, so what, you beat me at golf? I've never missed three penalties in the same game.
Did you, for Christmas, I always used to get as a present when I was younger, the Guinness Book of World Records. Is that just my household, or did anyone else?
No. I didn't get it, but I have heard of a lot of households that did do that as a sort of Christmas present. So, like, it was either like a family gift, or it went to one of the children or something like
that. Yeah, yeah. You don't need three versions of it. If you've got like three kids, one each stocking, that's a bit overkill. But yeah, there's normally, me or one of my siblings, we used to get the Guinness Book of World Records. Yeah.
Oh, nice. No, me and my brother never got that. So,
just wondering if it was the same in the Palermo household.
Maybe it's the other way around.
Daddy, you in here? Oh,
maybe
he's found it.
Everyone in his family gets him a copy, so he actually has like 12 copies or something, just so that they can rub it in. Like, yeah, I don't know. It's unfortunate for him. I always liked Martin Palermo. I've always had a soft spot for Boca.
So that was kind of international career, kind of a little bit tarnished. Club career was a bit of a story of home and away, really. Home being Argentina. Played for Estudiantes and Boca Juniors across two spells, and he in Argentina, 411 appearances in the league, 227 goals. Lovely stuff.
Yeah.
Did dabble in Spain for a little while. Didn't go very well. Villarreal, Real Betis, Alaves in the second division in Alaves. This is in the middle of his career. He's obviously fighting, you know, Spanish league quite hard. 22 goals, 95 appearances.
Yeah, that's not very good. I don't remember him at Betis or Alaves. I remember Villarreal because it was around Riquelme as well, I think. I think they crossed over at a similar time.
Oh, that's fact. Could be a good shout, actually, yeah.
And obviously I remember him at Boca Juniors. And I remember him at Boca Juniors being ridiculously good on Champ Manager 0102, which is probably a game that gets referred to a lot in this podcast. But And then I remember the Villarreal move, but I didn't know Betis, and I didn't know second division of Spain with Alaves. Wow.
Yeah, Alaves. Yeah, the Wikipedia page doesn't really dwell on his Spanish career. He's probably tweaked it and gone, we can, well, he always hasn't tweaked it enough. It will gloss over that fact, but we'll keep it, in fact, my Guinness World Record holder. But the Spanish time, it seems like it was peppered with injuries. And throughout the page, there's a number of injuries. So he had an ACL tear at Boca. The Spanish one's an interesting one. He broke his leg at Villarreal. When he celebrated scoring a goal, he stood on a small concrete wall, which collapsed, and he broke his leg.
No.
Yeah. Collapsed under the weight of the fans. So that's maybe some reason why his time in Spain, you don't want to be breaking a leg in, he only spent three seasons there. And then even back at Boca in his second spell, he again tore his ACL, and he'd later find out that he was set to get a recall to the international side at that time. That was a few years before Maradona was going to call, was in charge. Again, that international career has been kind of taken away from him a little bit. But, I mean, Boca is where it's all at. And this is a direct quote from the page. Palermo achieved legendary status in Boca in the last few years thanks to his many memorable goals for both the club and Argentinian national team. Palermo played his last home match at La Bombonera. After the match, he was honoured by Boca and was given several gifts, among them being one of the goal frames.
Where's he put it?
You'd imagine in the garden. If it's not in the garden... Great question. Maybe he just got he has it as a really big picture frame.
Yeah. Or maybe it's up in his garden. He's practicing penalties every day. I've missed two in a row. This one's going down the middle.
Oh, definitely, yeah. It is kids in goal. You're not saving this, mate.
Yeah.
But from then, I know I didn't realise this was news to me when I read his page. He's now a manager.
How's he done?
Did you know this?
No, I did not know this. No.
So he started out with Godoy Cruz Antonio Tomba.
Also just known as Godoy Cruz, yeah. Godoy Cruz.
With Roberto Abbondanzieri. Do you remember him? The goalkeeper.
Argentinian goalkeeper, yeah.
Yeah, that was in 2012. Moved on to Arsenal de Sarandi in 2014. Well, in the wording, it states his latest role was with Pachuca, starting there in 2019. He replaced, do you remember this guy? Paco Ayestarán.
Now, recognise the name, but I can't put him in a place of management that I would recognise.
It's assistant management.
Liverpool?
Rafa Benitez, assistant for about 11 years, I think it was. Yeah,
yeah, okay.
But here is an action, which do I have to take, I presume? It's my page.
Yeah, why not?
But you go down to the managerial stats section, and we have a couple of other roles. So in Chile, Union Española, between the Arsenal and the Pachuca roles, and then even a more later role with Curico Unido, which he seemingly left in July of this year because... I imagine in part due to his 14% win rate.
Wow, that's not a good win rate as a manager.
No. No, you want to be around at 50%. If you're around 50% mark, you're doing good.
Yeah.
Doing really well, actually. I think Guardiola's probably rocking like 65, 70%, but 14%. Whew.
Yeah, wow. I mean, looking at his managerial statistics, he has a win rate of his whole managerial career of 34.8. So... that's not brilliant.
It's a nice section in his managerial statistics because it's also got the goals for and goals against. It doesn't always have. Sometimes it has just a goal difference, but it's quite a nice little page there. So my action there is to tidy up the wording because it doesn't reference these two Chilean roles in the words, but it does mention in statistics. So I'll corroborate that and make sure it's right, and then I'll add it to the words.
Nice. And I think that's one we can achieve by next week, isn't it? Like, yeah. that's an easy, doable one, unlike the Brazilian appearances. From there, but
wide ranging, yeah.
What drew you to Palermo? And you said before that, you know, I'd picked Wenger and Eriksson, and he had been around a bit. And Palermo, you just sort of plucked him out of thin air, or did something jog the memory? Or
what? No, I was thinking of different options, and I was thinking English leagues. And I was like, well, we'll be able to get back to Svenja Eriksson quite easily there. And I was thinking Palermo, he's big Boca and a big name, you know, Boca all time top scorer. Is there that kind of link to Svenja? I tried to make it a bit difficult, but also, you know, I'm playing to your needs and wants. You like a bit of Boca.
I do.
So here ended Martin Palermo. And I did remember his trifecta, his penalty miss. So I thought that would make a nice talking point.
Nice. Okay, cool. Somehow got to get there, from there, sorry, to Sven-Göran Eriksson. Ant and Dec, did they sing? No, they sang On the Ball. Who sung the Sven-Göran Eriksson song? Don't know.
I remember him being in Soccer AM and him being a feature... and Sven Göran Eriksson, fa la 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 la. That's what I remember.
Oh, okay. No, I remember his song when we went into one of the World Cups. Yeah. So, which was Sven Göran Eriksson. It was really bad. How many countries do you think Sven Göran Eriksson has managed in, Josh? That's the first quiz. That's the real quiz.
England, one.
One. So you don't know anything about Sven?
I know that he managed Lazio.
So that's two, because he's managed in England and Italy.
Oh, sorry, I thought your question was around how many countries...
Okay. In. How many countries has he managed in?
Oh, okay, so he's been around. He's going to be around. There's definitely a Portuguese stint, an Italian stint, an English stint, because he was managed two clubs in England?
He has managed two clubs in England, yeah.
I'm going to go five countries.
Double it.
Ooh.
He's managed in 10 different countries. Sweden, Portugal, Italy, England, Mexico, Ivory Coast, Thailand, the United Arab Emirates, China, and the Philippines. He's got around a bit. I think there's quite... I mean, that surprised me when I looked at his page. Another thing that surprised me is, if I asked you, he was a professional footballer, what position do you think he played?
He seemed like a bit of a frail man.
Yeah, this is the problem we have is that we do only know him as an older gentleman.
Yes, but if you look at him, I'd say maybe a bit of a lightweight winger.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah. Is there a modern day player that you can maybe relate him, like a Robin, as in that sort of lightweight?
No, I'd say more like a Mark Albrighton.
okay, yeah, nice. Right back?
No, he didn't do that.
200 appearances, 33 goals as right back. Never left Sweden.
Ooh, that's quite a good goal return, isn't it?
For a right back, yeah. It's a very good goal return for a right back. We know him as England manager. I think that's where we remember him from.
With Todd Grip. Yes, George, I remember Grip, him.
He gets a lot of mentions in the in his page, yeah. They've been around together for quite some time. But, yeah, first off, he managed, he retired, and he became Tord Grip's assistant at Deirdre Ford.
No.
Yep, he started.
They had a role reversal.
Yeah. Ericsson received the offer to become Tord Grip's assistant at Deirdre Ford, and a year later, Grip was appointed as assistant manager of the Swedish national team, and therefore Ericsson became the manager. So that was in Sweden. He then moved to Gothenburg, so got a promotion in Sweden and moved to IFK Gothenburg. Did very well with them, and Benfica took a punt on him. And it's rare. I don't think you'd hear that nowadays. Sort of like an unknown Gothenburg manager moving to a club like Benfica. He did well there, moved to Italy, became manager of Roma. Oh, sorry, so in with Benfica, his biggest thing is that he was the runner-up in the 1982-83 UEFA Cup, the UEFA Cup final. So hey, they
Martin Palermo didn't play in that, so
he didn't. He did not. Do you want to guess who they lost to? Who Benfica lost to in the 1982-83 UEFA Cup?
Galatasaray.
No, I was going to say not a bad guess, terrible guess. Anderlecht. So, won the league title for a second consecutive season at Benfica. Roma came calling. Went to Roma. Didn't really work out. Went to Fiorentina. Didn't really work out. Went back to Benfica. Benfica, he did well with Benfica again. Got to the final of the 1989 European Cup final. Lost to Milan in 1990. Got another Premier Division title. Left to go back to Italy. Went to Sampdoria. Won the Coppa Italia. Went to Lazio. And that's, again, this is where he sort of becomes, I think, the household name that we know is Lazio. Eyed up and accepted the job offer to manage Blackburn Rovers at the end of the season while they're leaving Lazio, but went back on his word and stayed in Italy as Lazio manager from July 1997. Not the first time in his career he's ever gone cheated on someone, is it, Sven-Goran Eriksson?
Oh.
And this is where he employed Tord Grip. As the role reversal. So it was in Lazio that Tord Grip came his assistant. And then obviously from there, he won a few things. The Coppa Italia, the Italian Super Cup, the European Cup Winners' Cup in its final tournament. Sven-Goran Eriksson won it with Lazio. He won the Serie A title and then England came calling. And he was England manager for the 2002 World Cup, Euro 24, 2006 World Cup. Left after that. He turned down the job of managing Jamaica straight after the England team.
Odd choice.
Yeah. Man City came calling in 2007.
This is Nouveau Riche Man City, isn't it? This is, I remember him having the likes of Ilano and...
There are some cracking names on this list in this first sentence. In July 2007, virtually a year to the day that he left the England job, Eriksson was confirmed as the new manager of Man City. He signed a three-year contract worth £2 million a year plus bonuses. He was City's first manager from outside the United Kingdom. Good little quiz question for you. And before the season started, he had signed Rolando Bianchi. Remember him?
Forward.
Gelson Fernandez.
Yeah.
Giovanni.
Swedish, mid. Yeah.
Martin Petrov. Ilano.
Yeah, good Bulgarian winger. Yes.
Vedran Chorluka.
Oh, movie star. Yeah.
Javier Garrido.
Oh, left back. Spanish left back. Yeah, I remember all those guys.
So
that's peak Josh knowledge. That is.
There you go. Peak Josh knowledge. And yeah, Man City, he did all right. He got them into UEFA Cup qualifying and things like that. It was the owners before the Abu Dhabi group bought them. The Thai guy. I can't remember his name.
Yes, it was.
Takshin Shinawatra. That's it. Takshin is just in his name in here. Yeah, did pretty well there. After that, moved to Mexico. Managed the Mexico national team.
Just that's a natural progression. Absolutely.
Talk about natural progression. You think Mexico? Where do you want to go after Mexico? Notts County is the right answer, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Nottingham.
Yeah,
yeah. Go to Nottingham. Notts County.
Is that with Sol Campbell?
That was with Sol Campbell. They were bought out by the Middle East consortium Munto Finance, and Eriksson was getting £2 million a year for his deal.
Oh, he knows how to get this money. He's like a sexy, exotic Harry Redknapp.
I don't think he's ever been described as that, but yeah, we can take it.
I'll speak to Nancy DeLolio. I bet she's describing him as that.
Do you reckon in like 30... I've just missed that comment. That is... That's got under the radar.
How did that not get any better?
Yeah, it could be that. But yeah, then he went from Notts County to the Ivory Coast. Ivory Coast back to England, where he managed Leicester. Do you remember that? Sven-Goran Eriksson managing Leicester?
No, I'm merging him and Claudio Ranieri in my head.
There you go. So yes, he went to Leicester. Players who were signed by Eriksson, Kasper Schmeichel. So they've got a lot to thank Eriksson for there.
That's right, because he gave him his debut for Man City.
Yep, and then took him on loan to Notts County.
Oh, he loves him.
Yeah. And also in that list was Dave Nugent and Paul Konchesky, so don't worry too much about them. From there, he went to China, got a bit of money in China. From there, he went to the Philippines national team, and now he's retired, although he is still a consultant for the Philippines FA.
Wow, he's still getting money for doing nothing. He's actually got quite a nice page here showing season by season his league performance, and you can see with Gothenburg, he won the league in his final year, won the league both years with Benfica when he moved there. Fair to middling throughout, won the league again, his return to Benfica, and has also won the league with Lazio. So he's achieved a fair bit, and he's got lots of cups splattered through there, so it's nice. I mean, it does look like his initial Benfica time and his Lazio time are his peak. So that the Lazio time sums up why, because you read through that and you think, how's he got an England job?
Yeah.
It's that Lazio time, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think I was always quite happy with him as England manager. I thought we were going to do well in
gold generation, didn't we?
Yeah.
It's a gold generation time.
True. We judged it on Martin Palermo's for his management win percentage. Eriksson's standout win percentage is Benfica, 76% win percentage, which is incredible.
Yeah. First stint at Benfica again at 65%.
Yeah. England, 59.7%. So, I mean, there's a lot of easy games in the qualifiers and stuff, but yeah. The thing is, he's got lots of links from his page outwards. I think it's going to be a struggle to find a link into Sven-Göran Eriksson, other than World Cup squad or something.
Well, let's have a look at honours, because we're going to have some cup finals here. So we've got the UEFA Cup in 1981-82, which I don't know who that's between.
that was Anderlecht and Benfica.
No, because he's won under Gothenburg, so... That's interesting. He was the UEFA Cup winner with Gothenburg in 81-82 and a runner-up in 82-83. Oh, yeah. He knows how to win the UEFA Cup.
So, Valencia in the quarterfinals, Kaiserslautern in the semi-finals, and beat Hamburg SV in the final.
Okay, so Hamburg. We can get to Hamburg. Gothenburg, right. We've got UEFA Super Cup in 1999.
Yep.
He won the BBC Sports Personality Coach of the Year award.
If we find our way there... I think we've gone off course.
Some players, footballers to win Sports Personality of the Year awards, coaches. Oh, this is gone rogue. And also a UEFA Cup runner-up in 97-90. I think UEFA Cup, maybe. What else are we thinking? How to get to Sven?
Lazio. He'll have a bit on Lazio because he won a lot.
Gothenburg will also. If we think Swedish,
yeah.
Do we know anyone who's played for Gothenburg?
Give me a half an hour. I'll go back to
you. Yeah. Benfica, are going to have anything of note there?
I was thinking Rui Costa. That is too early for him as well, I think, isn't it? Rui Costa. I don't know. This is what I mean. I think it's going to be tough to get to Sven-Göran Eriksson unless we head to... Either we go to, knock out Serie A and get to Lazio.
We've also got countries, remember? We've got Ivory Coast on there. They'll have a list... They might not have a list of former managers.
Yeah, true. I tell you what, you never know how you could end up with going to Guangzhou or Shanghai. Random players might have had an end of a career that we haven't thought about. So,
okay. All right. Well, let's hark back to Martin Palermo because we need to start there.
Yeah.
Where on the page are you interested in going?
Don't want to say anything because I've sent us down some terrible pathways. So I'm letting you have complete free reign for this first pick in this episode. So,
okay.
Down
so
to
we
you.
Have got such things as, I'm talking about blue words. Anterior cruciate.
That's exactly the bit I looked at when you were like, I'm just looking at blue words. And I was like, well, I've looked at anterior cruciate and media collateral.
If that isn't where we should go, Dave, no. I don't know what. La Bombonera, because it sounds nice to say. Guinness Book of World Records. Amazingly, missing three penalties is also in blue, which I don't know what is going to uncover. We've got Diego Maradona, Lionel Messi. Oh, dear. There's a nice section here on...
Sorry, my brain's been going. I'm wondering, because we're not allowed to hover, rule two, we're not allowed to hover. I wonder if that missing three penalties is all the sports records that are currently in the Guinness World Book of Records, because you wouldn't have a page for what it means to miss three penalties.
Yeah, again, you said you're staying out of this and that. It sounds like the riskiest clip ever.
That's exactly why I'm staying out of it.
We've got his clubs. We've got Betis, Alaves, Boca, Villarreal. Not sure. That seems a bit too clubby.
One thing when you're going through it that did jump out of me was Paco Asturian.
David, I know it does.
But or Robert Abbondanzieri. No, I'm being quiet. You definitely shouldn't click Roberto Abbondanzieri or Paco Asturian just because I've mentioned them. Basically, Josh, you're not allowed to blame me for whatever happens next.
It's just seen the way you're shouting out almost every link and then you don't want to take any ownership for them. I'm going to go with individual honours, South American Footballer of the Year.
Okay. That's come out of nowhere. Okay.
It has. Wasn't discussed. Nope. I saw it. Thought, yeah, why not? Let's do it. The Rey de Football de America, which translates to a majestic King of Football of America, or referred to as the South American Footballer of the Year. I mean, I should say King of Football of America.
That's brilliant. What a name. Why don't you have King of Football of America, King of Football of Europe, King of Football of North America? And then, because then you can have Queen of Football of America, Queen of Football of, and it's, everyone wins. Love it.
So this is the South American Football of the Year. It's conceived by Venezuelan newspaper El Mundo, awarded 97 to 1985, and then after that El País took over from 1986.
Why does it have to be a newspaper? Why does Venezuelan newspaper and then a Uruguayan newspaper?
Okay, so its journalists could vote for the South American players at any club around the world, but when it changed to El País, it was only, it prohibited players, South American players who played in foreign leagues. So ever since 1986, it's been players who play in South America.
Okay.
So the inaugural winner was Tostao Cruzeiro. Mario Kempes, who played for the Spanish club Valencia, was the only player to win the award while playing for non-South American league. Three players have won it three times. Elias Figueroa, Zico, and Carlos Tevez, your friend of mine, Carlos Tevez. You're not a fan of Carlos Tevez now?
No.
You heard it here first, belatedly.
I don't know. I really liked him at United, and I really like how he plays football and the energy and stuff like that, but he genuinely does seem like a bit of a dick.
In terms of winners, we have lots of Brazilians. Brazilians have won at 13, Argentinians, Paraguayans, Uruguayans, Chileans, Colombians and Peruvians. Nice. River Plate and Bockers. River Plate have won it. Seven players have won it for River Plate.
Wow, it's nice.
That's a lot. Next nearest is Bocca with three. Martin Palermo being one of those. And we have it on the page. It's great. It goes all the way from 1971 to present day, listing the first, second, and third place clubs they played for, and I presume it's votes on the right hand, points, for the votes. But we've got some names in this, haven't we, Dave?
I was just, you know, when you're scrolling through and something, like on a Wikipedia page, and something catches your eye. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know how my eye caught this, but in 1974, third place went for a player at SG Wattenscheid 09 in Germany, and he's an Argentinian called Carlos Babington.
There's a lot to love about the words you've just said there.
Exactly. Carlos Babington. That is Carlos incredible. Babington. It's sort of like the really posh version of Alexis McAllister that currently plays for Brighton, who you think is Scottish, and he's Argentinian.
Well, there is that history in South America with kind of, is it Scots in Argentina?
It must be.
I don't know enough about it, but there definitely is something along those lines.
So now all I want to do is click on Carlos Babington, but I'm not going to, obviously.
We have, strangely, the winner that year was Raul Vicente Amaria, who has a Spanish flag, if I'm not mistaken.
What year is this?
1990.
Let me just scroll there. That is definitely a Spanish flag. Yes.
I can only imagine that he must have been... Well, he's playing in Paraguay, so maybe that's a clue. So they say he was Paraguayan and then later on decided to appear for Spain. I can only assume he's like, hey, thanks for the award, but suckers, I'm not going to be Paraguayan anymore, I'm going to be Spanish.
Yeah, probably something like that. I mean, there are some cracking names in here. Absolutely cracking names. Carlos Valderrama, Cafu, Freddy Rincon, Jose Luis Chilave, Maradona.
Ariel Ortega was actually an option for this instead of Martin Palermo. I was thinking, should I go with him?
All roads lead to either Big Sam, Pele's 125 list, or the South American Footballer of the... Sorry, the King of Football of America. The problem is, it's just a big, long list of names. I don't really know where we go.
Well, we could quite easily go to a player. We'll know a player who's played for a club that Sven Eriksson has managed. We could be brave and think, do any of these players... Did, for example, Zico have a time in Europe and he would have played in the UEFA Cup? I don't think Zico played
now,
in Europe.
Now, in now. 2010.
In 2010. Let me cast my mind back.
2010 was a good year in South America football because Neymar only came third. Juan Seba Verón only came second. And he of Portsmouth fame, Anders D'Alessandro, came first.
Yes.
And obviously, Juan Seba Verón does link us into Lazio. that could be quite easy. I'm quite interested to know about Andres D'Alessandro's career, because I only know the little bit in Germany and the very, very, very quick stint at Portsmouth.
Yeah, it was Wolfsburg, wasn't it, in
Wolfsburg,
Germany? Do you know who he reminds me of? A player who, if he was on the list, I would definitely go for Diego Buonanotte.
Diego Buonanotte, River Plate frame.
Yes, but was in a car crash when he was quite, like, as a teen with other players, and I think broke his leg and stunted his development.
I didn't know that. There you go. Yeah, I'm not sure where we go. Gabriel Jesus is on the list, but he's only been Man City, hasn't he, in Europe, I think.
Do you remember Humberto Suazo? Was he an Inter Milan player?
He was an Inter Milan player. Yeah, Humberto Suazo. He was an Inter Milan player. I don't know, Josh. I don't know. This is the crossroads where we're like, do we try and just get an easy one, get into Lazio, cross it? Well, I mean, we're assuming Lazio have a section about Svengor and Eriksson. Like, that's quite a big assumption.
Yeah, they may do. They may do, yeah. I'm also intrigued by Francisco Arce, or Ars.
Yeah.
The Paraguayan right wing back.
Yeah.
I think he was always very good on computer games. Don't know much about him. Did he come to... Again, he could have easily had a stint in Europe, but I don't know about. Feels like he could have played in Spain.
That's true. I'm also looking at Javier Saviola in there as well.
Oh, love a bit of Javier Saviola.
Everyone loves Saviola. I mean, I think at one point in CMO 102, I probably would have had Palermo-Saviola partnership up front.
Saviola, did he not have a time at Benfica?
Oh, I don't know. Barcelona, definitely.
Arsenal tick, yes.
Did he go Benfica?
What other clubs can you name that Javier Saviola played for?
River Plate.
Yes. Barcelona.
River Plate, Barcelona.
I remember the days when him, there's no mention of him on this actually, him and Pablo Aimar were a duo, a River Plate duo. They were talked about, I remember reading, was it
I tell you what,
on Teletext, and they've been linked with Spurs. I was like, oh, that would be a dream.
I'll tell you why Pablo Aimar's not on this list. Because he wouldn't have played in South America after 1986 or whatever it was. Yeah,
a lot of Valencia time, wasn't
there?
Yeah,
exactly, yeah, yeah. So.
And Benfica. And he was a hero of Lionel Messi, was Pablo Aimar.
Ooh, there you go. I don't know, Josh. I'm happy
to go. I pick the last one. You can pick this one, Dave. Choose your player. I mean, there are other options. Outside of players, we have clubs we can go for. Countries, they may just be the country rather than the actual national team. We have Copa Libertadores, we have a couple of newspapers we can click on. Where are you thinking?
I'm torn between the last two we've just mentioned, Javier Saviola or Ars. Do you know what? I'm gonna flip something. We're gonna leave it to fate where we're gonna go. I'm gonna flip my little, I've got this, you can see it on camera, Josh. I've got my little like debit credit card thing, you know, when you gotta put a pin
in. Yes, your token,
token. Red side is Saviola. The black side is arse, okay? It's red.
Red side.
Saviola. Javier Saviola. We're coming to you. Come on down. Javier Pedro Saviola Fernandez. Born 11th December 1981, so older than us, which I always find a success when you find someone who's older than you in Wikipedia. I always think that's a nice tick in a box. Argentinian former professional footballer who played as a forward. As we said, Josh... Weirdly, on this podcast, everything links to Big Sam, FIFA Pelé's list of top 125 footballers, or the King of Football of America. Saviola was named as the youngest player on Pelé's FIFA 100 list of the 125 greatest living footballers in 2004. Do you remember that you played for Real Madrid?
Negative.
I completely forgot that happened, and I completely forgot he signed directly for Real Madrid from Barcelona. So
yeah. Yeah, so and he's so his career's got nice. It's quite nice actually. It's bookended. So River Plate start and finish. Barcelona move. It started well. And 17 goals in his first season. It's saying, then petered out. A few changes in managers. We have Radi Antic replaced Louis van Gaal. Frank Rijkaard replaced him. He ends up on loan over to Monaco. Comes back to Sevilla, replacing Julio Baptista. Remember Julio Baptista?
Yeah, Arsenal.
It was called like the Beast or something.
It was
a formidable goal-scoring midfielder. Didn't quite work from Real Madrid and went on loan to Arsenal, you're right. Then signed for Real Madrid, but didn't really work for him, did it? Seems he was apparently restricted to cut matches, sporadic appearances, made as a sub. Then Klaas Jan Huntelaar arrives, and it gets tougher for him after that. So then, as I said, it then goes into Benfica, where it seems to go quite nicely for him, really.
Yeah, I mean... 2009, so I'm trying to think who else I can spring to my mind who Benfica may have had. I know there's a name there, Oscar Cardozo, the Paraguayan. Like,
again, he's on the list to be talked through. Nicholas Gaitán.
Nicholas Gaitán would have been there. Yeah, that would have been Nicholas Gaitán. Scored in a 5-0 victory over Everton in the Europa League, which is good. He also scored in their 2-0 win in the return leg as well. He added a brace 4 days later in a 6-1 routing of CD Nacional in the Primera Liga. So yeah, he seemed to have a bit of success winning a Player of the Month award, scoring some winning goals, crowned league champions. He seemed to have success, and he went back to Spain, where he then struggled.
It seems like that's the beginning of the end, isn't it? I think that's Malaga when they get some money. So Malaga had like Santi Cazorla.
Yeah, they qualified for the Champions League, didn't they? They got 1 year in the Champions League.
Jeremy Toulon, maybe. I think there was a certain manager who was there. I cannot remember. Doesn't mention it here. But then we have Olympiacos. Verona goes across to Italy. So he's played in France, Italy, Spain. I would imagine he would have been rumoured to go to England a number of times as well. Yeah. I think he would have been rumour mill fodder. Returns to River. And then, well, I didn't realise, he settled in Andorra. So a little country on the border of France and Spain, but appointed assistant manager of FC Ordino in the Primera Divisio, and he also joined a local futsal team.
I would love to be like a fly on the wall in that local futsal tournament when his team in camp come up against another team, and it's just because it says local futsal, I just imagine he is literally walking out into like a sports hall of a school, and there are another team there who are just like, oh, for God's sake. Are you joking me? This was a rumour.
Yeah.
I didn't believe it when they said Saviola had signed for them.
Well, they might call him by his nickname, El Conejo, the rabbit, which I think is due to his teeth. I think
and his little size, probably. It's probably a mixture of factors.
Well, maybe I've just been harsh and said to his teeth. El Pibito, the little kid, as a reference to compatriot Diego Maradona, and also El Pibe de Oro, the golden kid.
Nice, yeah. I mean, I don't remember this style of play that's written down here, because I remember him as a sort of on-the-shoulder goal poacher, a bit like Mike Lowen sort of thing.
Yeah, I agree.
I do remember him as being diminutive, but I don't remember him as a talented, prolific forward with a slender build who is capable of playing as a striker or in a more creative role as a second striker or even a playmaker in attacking midfield. Don't remember that.
Yeah, leave that to your mate Pablo Aimar. That's Pablo Aimar's realm. Don't be encroaching on that. Maybe he was at Benfica at the same time, Aimar and Saviola.
Maybe.
The most interesting bit of the page, though, and then maybe for any younger listeners, they won't remember this, but I would go and search this out. I've shown this to my kids and they loved it. Saviola was sponsored by sportswear company Nike, and he appeared in commercials for the brand. In a global advertising campaign in a run-up to a 2002 World Cup in Korea and Japan, he starred in a secret tournament commercial branded Scorpion KO, directed, I didn't know this, Terry Gilliam of Monty Python fame, appearing alongside footballers such as Luis Figo, Thierry Henry, Hidetoshi Nakata, Roberto Carlos, Ronaldinho, Ronaldo, Francesco Totti, with former player Eric Cantona, the tournament referee. And so if that doesn't jog anyone's memory, this is where it's in the cage. It's a cage tournament. They're doing different skills. Edgar Davids was also involved with one of my favourite players at the time. And they're doing different skills all the time to try and do something. I think Paul Scholes does something off someone's back or something. I can't remember what it is.
And there was no goalkeepers. It was tiny little goals. Was it Carlos actually scores a diving header in it? Or something?
I think it does. Yeah, spoons over, doesn't it?
As Josh said, if you haven't seen it, go check it out. It's an amazing advert for the 2002. Just Google Secret Tournament 2002 World Cup and you'll find it there. And Eric Cantona's brilliant in it as well. And I've got a feeling, didn't the losing teams get thrown off the boat? That was what was important.
Because there's a number of videos to it. It used to be like, oh, which one's going to be airing tonight? Oh, no, I've seen this one with Totti and stuff. Yeah. But it's probably about 10 different videos,
Yeah, but I mean, Saviola, 39 caps for Argentina. Not very good, but 11 goals. Overall,
more than Palermo.
That's true. Yeah, more than Palermo. He's also not missed as many penalties in one game as Palermo. Martin.
No,
just to bring that up.
No Guinness World Record for you.
210 goals in 585 games in total, like across all competitions.
1 in 3, not that great, is it?
Not for someone that you think with him.
It peaked at Barcelona and River Plate.
I can't believe I'd forgotten about Real Madrid. It's good to see that he had a good spell at Benfica. And then, it just sort of went down with Malaga. I don't know why some players do it. Like, personally, if it was me, if I've had a troubled time or Barcelona started well and then it faded off and you've gone to, and then Real Madrid take you and it doesn't work out there, you have 17 league appearances over 2 years, and then you have a good spell at Benfica, don't don't go back to Spain. It's ruined you once.
I feel like footballers always feel like I've got a point to prove.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, true. Yeah, true. What are you thinking about next steps?
We've got an easy one.
Benfica.
With Benfica. We have... I'm drawn to...
Right. I'm just going to put this out there. You say Benfica's an easy one. Sven-Göran Eriksson had two spells, which was a total of three seasons. He might not get a mention on their page.
Yeah, be honest, but they're winning the league most years, aren't they?
Yeah.
We've got some nice players mentioned. I mean, Hidetoshi Nakata is one that I enjoy. Just a time at Bolton with Big Sam.
He did. Everything leads to Big Sam. Pele's 125 lift, and now the King of Football of America. Yeah, I mean, I think we have to click Benfica, potentially Ivory Coast. I think they're mentioned in here somewhere. I feel like we can't that should potentially be a new rule, that we can't deliberately deflect ourselves away from the end goal.
I'm not sure about that, because we're trying to make things interesting, spice things up. It's an obvious one, but I feel like we can still click. No, I don't think that should be a rule. It's maybe an advisory.
An advisory guidance note. So, because I would love to know more about Oscar Cardozo, because it's another player that I have memories of.
I agree, but I feel like he's worth saving for a bookend.
Oh, yeah.
One of our start or finishers. I feel like as a middle ground, I think he's better than that.
Okay, I'm calling it now, next week, starting with Cardozo.
So we've got Benfica. Ivory Coast is also one which is intriguing me. We've got the World Cups mentioned. Ooh, 2006 World Cup. Is that not a...
Oh, that's a Sven World Cup.
That is a Sven, isn't it?
That is a Sven World Cup.
That is a Sven World Cup, but that won't be good on the front. That won't be a single click. We have to. There'll be a secondary click off the back.
It might be a single click, because it might say notable managers or England.
Oh, not in my experience, Dave. Not in my experience.
Okay, all right. I'm intrigued to know what the, under his first paragraph in his Benfica section, what the Guadiana Trophy finals are. On the 16th of July, he scored two goals to send his team into the Guardia Trophy finals after defeating Athletic Bilbao. What tournament are Benfica playing Atletico Bilbao in? That's weird, isn't it?
Interesting one. That is.
We could learn a bit more about the Guardian Trophy finals, but that's risky.
That is risky.
I'm ignoring my own guidance note. Benfica, I think. Benfica or the World Cup. That's my choices.
Disagree.
Oh.
Disagree. Ivory Coast is where Cote d'Ivoire. Let's go.
Just like that. Ivory Coast. Done.
The Ivory Coast national football team. Nickname, the Elephants. Love it. Dave, have you ever touched an elephant?
Yes, I have. I've fed an elephant. I've touched an elephant. I've been to elephant sanctuaries in Thailand and looked after them and petted them and washed them.
That is a lot more elephant touching than I anticipated.
Yeah, you did. You haven't done your research on my Wikipedia page, have you?
No. Oh, imagine we get our own Wikipedia page. That would be amazing. That's where this podcast ends.
Yeah.
The Wikipedia Wanderers page.
When you can link from you to me on Wikipedia by just using football links, that's when we know we've completed the podcast. So
thoughts on Ivory Coast national football team. I think of them, my initial thought, I think it was one of the best African countries.
Yeah, I get the thought of one of the better African teams that have underachieved.
Oh, you think of them as underachievers, do you?
Yeah, okay. I always think they've never gone. If you think about, like, I've seen Ghana get to a semi-final of a World Cup against Uruguay.
Thanks, Luis Suarez.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, cheers, Luis Suarez. Nobed. I've seen other African nations do decent, and I've never seen the Ivory Coast, not that I can remember, do well in a group stage of a World Cup. And they've always been there with the likes of a Zakora, a Drogba, a Serge Aurier. They've always had decent players that have been at a high level standard, and it's always been a bit of a letdown. I don't know if it's a goalkeeper thing or those players haven't been there at the same time. Obviously, you've got Yaya Touré, Kolo Touré.
It actually seems like World Cup failings seem to be due to group of deaths. So in the tournament itself, in 2010, we have Argentina, Holland and Serbia, Montenegro. That's pretty tough. We also have Brazil, Portugal, North Korea. Are they in a North Korea one? Oh, that's the one it is.
Isn't that when North Korea beat Brazil, according to North Korean media?
This is where they have it published in North Korea. They show, they score a goal and then they lost it by like 3-1, but they didn't show any of the other goals.
Yeah, that was it, yeah. So, it's interesting, isn't it? It is interesting. And it's that. But this is what I mean. 2014, Colombia, Greece and Japan I mean,
you'd have thought better. Georges Samaras converted a penalty. Okay, well, so let's have a look at current players. They've got some. I always look for where they're playing. We've got some Man United. Oh, Eric Bailly, of course. Yeah, we have Willy Bolly. I don't know why I did not think he was from Ivory Coast. I thought he was Portuguese.
Well, he's played for the Wolves. That's why.
Yes, I think he has played for Porto. We have John Michael Seri of Fulham fame.
Kalou.
Max Gradle.
Max Gradle.
Leeds and Bournemouth.
Bournemouth. Yeah. So
now the standout Burnley player, Maxwell Cornet. I think he'll be in for a culture shock playing Burnley.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably. I mean,
yeah.
This is what I mean. They've had good players, and you look at what they've done in terms of the bit on the right hand side as a quick snippet, and World Cup, 3 appearances, all of them just best result is the group stage, so never got out the group. Africa Cup of Nations appearances, 24 appearances, only won it twice in 92 and 2015. African Nations Championship, they've appeared in that 3 times, they got a 3rd place finish in 2016. FIFA Confederations Cup, they've been in that once and finished 4th in 1992. So it's just a bit, I find it really disappointing with the players they've had. And
yeah, we look at the players, the most capped players, you've got some names on here. I mean, strangely, most capped player is Didier Zakora. I remember him from Spurs days. One of the quickest centre mids I think I've ever seen. Not really the trait you're looking for in a centre mid. Kairo Touré, Didier Drogba, Yaya Touré, Solomon Kalou. We have in top goal scorers, Drogba, 65 goals. That is impressive, isn't it?
That's very impressive, yeah. Very, very impressive. But I just think it must come down to the goalkeeper / defender situation. Because you look at, we'll start with defenders, right? These are the clubs that their current squad defenders play for. And I'm going to go from bottom to top in the defender list. Eupen in Belgium is where one of them plays, although he's had 0 mm-hmm. caps. Chipper United, who's actually had 1 cap, scored 1 goal for the Ivory Coast.
Great work.
Lyon, Bayer Leverkusen, Wolves, not three pretty decent teams there. Reims in France, Man United, Eric Bailly. Then it goes Al Gharaf in Qatar. And then Serge Aurier, unattached. So that probably won't be too long. I think remaining's unattached.
Well, you never know.
And then goalkeepers, they've got an uncapped goalkeeper who plays for San Pedro in the Ivory Coast. They have a 16-capped JDR Stars goalkeeper and 61-capped goalkeeper, unattached player.
I agree. That's tough to work with as a manager. And we look at the managers, we have some names that people recognise. They've not been afraid to branch out outside of Ivory Coast, have they? I think probably a French colony, so we've got some French managers to begin with. We have some German managers. We have an Argentinian. When it gets to names that I'll know, we have, is Sven. Sven is there. In 2010, it's probably the first name I recognise. And we have Sabri Lamouchi, the former French midfielder. Mark Wilmots, Belgian. It's not a great list of managers, is it? Well, I mean, I say that assuming I know the names of every great manager, but there's a lot of names there I do not recognise.
It's not a who's who of managers, is it, for such a big nation in Africa, you'd think. And I'm always intrigued by things that you see in these sorts of pages. 1966, vacant. What's the difference between that and 1974 to 76 when it was empty?
I feel like you've just spotted an error where you need to fix that, Dave.
Do you think they should all be vacant or should they all be empty?
Oh, it's vacant. No one calls in the managerial position empty, do they?
Well. I was thinking there isn't a hyphen or an asterisk or anything. I might take this action away further. Was it vacant in 1966 because they actually had games to play and therefore it was vacant because they didn't have a manager but they needed one? And was it empty because they didn't have games to play in 74, 76?
Okay, yeah, I agree, yeah. Check before you correct.
Yeah, I'll dig deep and see what's needed.
Check yourself before you correct yourself. The one bit I did like was when they talk about their fans. The supporters of the Elephants are known to be among the most colourful in Africa. Matches featuring Ivory Coast, the Elephant supporters section typically include a percussion band that mimics the sound of an elephant travelling through a forest.
Lovely.
That's something. That's better than Barmy Army, whatever it is.
yeah. I also feel like that could do with a bit of tidying up. Because it says, at matches featuring the Ivory Coast, the Elephant supporters. So, they're not going to rock up to other games, are they?
I agree. Take that away, because that is just, why are they there? Are they just going to be in a stadium watching other games?
On Ivory Coast match days, the Elephant supporter section typically include a percussion band that mimics the sound of an elephant travelling through a forest.
Oh, you got it. Yeah. Love it, Dave. Love it. You're all over that.
Are we going Sven?
Let's click on Sven Göran Eriksson. La, la 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 la.
And there he is. We're back at him with his Monty Burns-esque face looking back at us. That's only just made me realise how much he actually does sort of embody Monty Burns from The Simpsons.
So, you've seen in recent years, this is a dated photo, 2012 photo, he shaved his head now.
There is a photo later on, Eriksson in China, 2014, with a shaved head. It's a bit fuzzy.
Not quite,
on top.
Yeah, but that's what I'm kind of alluding to, yeah, much shorter. Yeah. Which made me think, oh, he's lost his hair, but he wasn't blessed with a full head.
No, he wasn't.
I mean, I presume he wasn't born like that.
Well, I assumed he wasn't a right back, mate, but so we all learn new things every day.
Every day's a school day.
I mean, let's touch on very quickly, because we didn't really touch on it before. Our thoughts on Eriksson as England manager and that era. What did we expect? It was like a golden generation, like you said, but what did we think about actually Eriksson's management?
I think at the time I was naive and I didn't really know much about him. I was like, oh, he's come from Lazio, he's got to be good.
Yeah,
but I think I did appreciate his calm nature. He kind of embodied Arsene Wenger a little bit, I think.
Yeah, okay.
Very calm. Yeah. And it was a bit glamorous, wasn't it? A bit like, oh, he knows his stuff because he came from Lazio. But I think it was underwhelming overall, wasn't it?
It's tough because it's always. I think England managers are one of the hardest jobs because everyone expects you to win something. He probably didn't have an excuse to not win something because he had the golden generation. He had the best players. But he was well in the mire of the Gerrard and Lampard, can they play together with Scholes? I think it was the end of Scholes' England career.
Scholes off the left, wasn't it? Scholes coming in off the left, wasn't it?
Yeah,
for a while.
It was always a little bit dodgy with him in charge. His calm persona seemed to be exuded onto the pitch as well. Like the players were always a bit too calm. There was no urgency between it, and I don't know. And obviously, he had his
indiscretions.
Yeah, let's call it indiscretions off the field of play. Well, they might have been done on the field. We'll never know.
No, he's a lucky boy. I remember as a teen thinking Nancy Dell'Olio, Ulrika Johnson, he's done all right for himself.
Yeah, he's done all right.
Better than you thought a man of his stature would.
Yes, definitely. I mean, the Euro 2004. Do you remember that one? We got through to the quarterfinal against Portugal, who were hosting it. Owen scored, Postiga equalised, Sol Campbell disallowed goal. We lost on penalties. Ricardo took his gloves off.
Yeah.
Saved the penalties. I mean,
oh, that started with Gerrard making a mistake, didn't it? In the opening match against France. He put the pass back, which Thierry Henry skipped around the goalkeeper, and it was penalty. Zidane took it. We need to stop this, otherwise I'm just going to get sad around how bad England were.
Okay, so you think of Dell'Olio, whatever, Nancy Dell'Olio, whatever her name is, mm-hmm. back in your
teenage days. I'll think of that.
You think of that. And I think, well, we've done it. I don't have to think we've done it. We've actually done it. We have got from Martin Palermo to Sven-Göran Eriksson, which is mightily impressive. And again, it seemed too not easy.
We've been quite considerate to future episodes, haven't we?
We really have, and we've also got the starting point for the next week's episode as well. Oscar Cardozo. Yeah, that was pretty successful. So what was it? It was Martin Palermo to King of Football of America. From there we went to Javier Saviola. From there to Ivory Coast. And from Ivory Coast to Sven-Göran Eriksson.
Sven-Göran Eriksson, yeah, and only picked up a couple of actions along the way. So we picked up the action to look at wording around Martin Palermo's managerial career, the empty versus vacant discussion.
Vacant gate.
And then also the wording around the elephant supporters, how they support when they're supporting Ivory Coast, which is surely all the time.
Yeah, and it's been good. It's been good fun. Relatively late, it's very late at night here. It's a early afternoon for you now. It's been a
I'm getting hungry.
Yeah,
that's the kind of afternoon we're talking. It's a time of day. I don't know if it's called afternoon or evening. Half five afternoon still.
Yeah, it's afternoon. I think evening is after you've eaten dinner.
Okay, so if I eat my dinner now, it becomes evening.
Yeah, because it'll take you half an hour. That'll be 6 o'clock.
Is it 6 o'clock or is it eating dinner?
No, it's after you eat dinner. It's after you eat dinner. It's when you're settling down for the evening, isn't it? You wouldn't settle down for the evening if you haven't eaten.
It's true, Dave.
So, yeah.
Right, well, let me know, people. When does the evening start for you? Is there a time of day or is it when you've consumed a meal?
That's a Twitter poll waiting to happen.
It is.
Hashtag unrelated to football. What time does the evening start for you? After dinner or at a certain time?
Related to football, what's your favourite kickoff time of a match? Not skewed for Singaporean time. You're in England and you're watching a match. When is the best time to watch football? Is it, if it's all on TV, do you like a Saturday 3 o'clock, Sunday 4 o'clock, a midweek evening? What do you like?
I always liked midweek Champions League. That sort of time.
7:45
were always great. Yeah. I do think I enjoyed the camaraderie of mates at a pub for Saturday 3 o'clock when you couldn't watch any of the games. Yeah, so you're all watching goals come in on Soccer Saturday or BBC Sport or whatever. But I'm also a big fan of an early Sunday.
My favourite is a Sunday 4 o'clock, which has now been shifted to 4:30, which I don't like. But yeah, I did used to enjoy Monday night football when I was younger, more so than now.
MNF, yeah, I used to love a bit of that. Yeah. Monday night football on Sky. If I had to pick one, 7:45, Champions League, Wednesday night.
Yeah, Deportivo versus Man United. Diego Tristan moving. Yeah, do you remember that? He scored a couple at Old Trafford, I think.
Yeah, cheers, mate. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
brilliant. How's that trophy hunt going for Spurs?
Okay, that brings an end to this week's podcast. Thank you for listening. Feel free to send in your suggestions for Wikipedia pages. You can find us on Twitter at Wikipedia Wanderers or on Instagram on Wikipedia Wanderers. One of those is correct, one of those is incorrect. You can work it out. See you next week. Goodbye. Some usernames will be false.